So the James Reserve is located in Southern California, and it's two very interesting things are part of this site. One is that it's the testbed for the Center for Embedded Network Sensing Systems, which is based at UCLA. And this is a very interesting collaboration project because there's engineers from computer science or electrical engineer, biologists, ecologists, soil scientists. So it's a place where different sites, disciplines from different areas are merging into asking scientific questions. And that's why, if you were here at the beginning of the symposium, it's one of the things that sensing networks have the potential to bring the scientists of different disciplines to ask scientific questions and see it from different angles. Apart from that, the James Reserve also is proposed to be a testbed for NEON. So we have a very nice set of deployments above ground and below ground. This is a mixed conifer oak forest. The precipitation is about 500 millimeters and with a temperature of 10 degrees C. But the point is that in this site, we have a lot of sensors above ground and below ground from different perspectives. There are sensors coming from acoustic sensors. We have also visual sensors, so digital cameras going and that you can manipulate these cameras or fixed cameras. We have also applications from mobile robots going from different, looking for variables in the canopy. And also we have fixed sensors in the soil. So it's a very nice opportunity to look on the applications of the sensor technology. A lot of these sensors are in the developing phase. So we hope to start seeing the applications of that in the near future. For this talk, I'm going to talk about soil sensor technology. And we're going to talk about a combination of different sensors in the soil, mobile sensors as well, but also fixed sensors. And how can we get more information about soil processes? Specifically, I'm going to talk about root production and soil respiration. Soils is, in the computer science work and in the development of sensors work, is called the final frontier of developing sensors for many, many, many reasons. And one of the reasons is a mechanical reason. You can't move in the soil, obviously. The other reasons are the physical and chemical properties of the soils, which we have heard in the past. So it's a really challenge to work on the soils, developing these sensors. We're working on developing an automated mini rhizotron. And for the ones that are not familiar with mini rhizotrons are tubes that are buried in the soil, and a camera is moved manually up and down, taking pictures at different depths and at different times, so you can recreate the picture, you can measure the length of a structure and measure it in different time intervals and see the growth of roots or mycorrhizae and rhizomorphs. So we are developing this automated mini rhizotron that hopefully we will deploy that in January. So all the electronics are done, all the networks are done. So it's a challenge also to interact with different scientists to place the systems in the ground and then test it. So I'm going to present a case study. And as I mentioned, the case study is going to be about the root dynamics and soil respiration. So why is this important? Well, soils are the largest carbon pool in terrestrial ecosystems, and it's important to understand how climate variation is going to influence soil respiration. And soil respiration is the result of autotrophic respiration, which is respiration from roots and mycorrhizae, but also the respiration from decomposers, which is heterotrophic respiration. Therefore, it's important to understand how this process is regulated at different time scales, not only in space, spatial scales and also in different time scales. And one of the questions is how is this? What are the biophysical factors that regulate soil respiration? And there's increasing evidence that soil respiration might be regulated by photosynthesis. So at the James Reserve, we had the opportunity to have a dense deployment of sensors to test this hypothesis. And by having continuous measurements, we can start looking for different how processes are affected at different temporal scales. And by having a high deployment, a spatial deployment of sensors, we also can start looking at spatial scales. So, unfortunately, the automated mini rhizotron is not developed yet, but we are doing manual measurements. Now, manual measurements are require a lot of time, a lot of effort to measure. So at the way that you are, at the same time you are developing this new sensor, you start develop. You have to think about how you're going to analyze the future data and also the potential results that are coming. So we decided to go there and measure manually, intensively, with campaigns at these sites. But also at the same time we're trying to develop a software which will be analyzing this and do the work that right now the humans are doing. So the way we set this experiment, we designed these nodes. As a node, I will refer to mini rhizotron tube buried in the soil, which is done manually at this time. And I repeat, we will have the automated ones in January. And then we have a combination of different sensors. We have soil moisture sensors, we have soil CO2 sensors, and we have soil temperature sensors. With these variables, we can actually model the CO2 flux from the soil. And the CO2 flux from the soil, which is based on measuring concentrations of CO2, is we're using the fixed first law of diffusion, and then we're using a diffusivity model. We correct it for temperature and pressure, and with that we calculate the flux of CO2 from the soil. With this, and with thinking that, trying to figure out which are the biophysical factors that regulate soil respiration, we designed an experiment with a site with woody vegetation and a site with herbaceous vegetation. And we were able to deploy the circles are the mini rhizotron tubes, and the X means the node, so these combinations of sensors. So we have a dense array of sensors at the woody vegetation site and a dense array of sensors at the herbaceous vegetation site to start looking for the spatial differences, in this case based on different vegetation types, and see spatial variation within vegetation types, between vegetation types, and temporal variations. And by temporal variations, I will refer by seasonal variations and daily variations. These measurements I'm presenting are from the year of 2006. And the first graph is soil temperature, second one is volumetric water content, and the third one is vapor pressure deficit. Vapor pressure deficit is calculated from air relative humidity and air temperature, and could be a way to think about the plant stress. So during 2006, we had a very wet spring, and we have a monsoon event. And continuous measurements, we start thinking about pulses and these events that actually by having point measurements we're not able to think about. So continuous measurement will see how this system will react by these sudden events. These are the manual measurements of mini rhizotron tubes. And if you're familiar with these measurements, usually the measurements, because are difficult to take, they are taken every month, every week, or every 3 months. Here, we did a random sampling. So some of these measurements were taken in 3 consecutive days or 4 consecutive days. And some people might think, why you do that? It's a little bit overkilling, like roots are not changing that much. And no, actually our results are saying that sometimes rhizomorph for roots will be changing over half a meter per day in an area of 1 meter on the soil. So thinking about these measurements is that soil processes are very dynamic, and probably more than we actually think about. Putting these measurements, just to simplify them, into these phases that I mentioned before, and the main phases were defined by differences in moisture and water content, we saw that in this phase, for example, which is the monsoon event, you have an increase on the length of root length and rhizomorph length. But how does this... Oh, the other point is that there are differences in the woody vegetation site and in the herbaceous vegetation site. So at the woody site, we have more fine root length and definitely more rhizomorphs. So we're seeing that there's not only above ground differences, but also below ground structural differences, where the length of these structures vary, but also how fast these structures vary. It seems to be more dynamic, the rhizomorphs here, than in the herbaceous site. Therefore, we think that the deployment of new technologies on continuous measurements might give us more information about the below ground processes of these structures. Now, moving on and talking about soil respiration. This is the seasonal patterns of soil respiration at 2 different sites. This is the woody vegetation and the herbaceous vegetation site, and this is the mean from the different nodes, and the vertical lines represents the different phases of the study. Again, this phase is the monsoon event. The first thing that we see here is that there's more spatial variation at the Buddhi meditation site than the Hervaishu meditation site. However, we see that the pattern is similar among nodes, and the distance between these point measurements is not more than 3 meters. So in 3 meters, we see large difference, over 30% among nodes. The other thing is that you see that at the Buddhi meditation site, the effect of a monsoon event, these pulses that happen at the seasonal scale, are now detected by continuous measurements. On the other hand, at the Buddhi meditation site, we don't see that pulse in all the nodes except in one node. So it also depends where are you measuring these variables. In terms of what is regulating these factors at the seasonal scale, it seems that moisture and temperature are important to regulate the seasonal soil respiration at the Buddhi meditation site. But temperature is regulating more soil respiration at the seasonal level at the herbaceous site. And this comes more evident when we start looking about diurnal patterns. And I think here's where we start asking questions of having continuous measurements and different sensors placing together. But what I want to show here is that at the herbaceous site, there's just a nice relationship in temperature and pressure, but at the Buddhi meditation site, there is this hysteresis effect. My point here is that by having these measurements, we're trying to see unpredicted patterns on the relationship that we expect they will hold in here. What regulates the effect? That's a good question, and we're under investigation of that. It seems that it could be a biophysical process that will regulate this effect. And just to give you some hint about this, it's vapor pressure deficit. When vapor pressure deficit was high, so when the plants are under stress, we see this effect. So as a conclusion is that we see higher respiration rates at the woody vegetation site with higher spatial variation, and there are differences on the physical mechanisms that regulate this effect at the seasonal scale, but also at the daily scale. And at the daily scale, this lags or this stress effect might be regulated by plants and when plants are under stress. Therefore, at the Jens Reserve, we have a good opportunity to start looking for these spatial and temporal differences on the mechanisms that regulate soil respiration. And with that, I want to say thank you, and I'm happy to ask any questions. To answer a question, sorry. I can ask some for you. Any questions?
Yeah. Did you say you saw half a meter growth difference in per day?
Yes. So what we did is we have four continuous days of measurements in the mineralizotrons. And we have seen in average on all the tubes, we have seen like a rhizome of length will change about a meter. Not every day, no, but it could happen in some days that we have seen about a meter of change.
Was that
the Woody vegetation site? And that is a paper in review in the Battle Zone. So I can give you the reference if you give me your email.
Is this like a borehole imaging where you image all around this thing, or is it a single snapshot?
That's a very good question on the measurements of mineralizotrons. He was asking if it was a whole measurement around the tube, or it was just a point measurement. So far, we're doing these vertical measurements on the tube. But the automated mineralizotron that we're measuring it can take measurements around the tube, and you can actually go and say, go back to X and Y position. And it could be triggered by events. So say, for example, if you have a threshold in precipitation, or you say, like, when temperature goes over this value or below this value, then start taking the images. So we want to link not only by saying start measuring now, but also by trigger the events of the sensors by environmental changes in environmental variables.